You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
We've got two different sizes of Penny's Bang Biscuits, the bite-sized treats, perfect rewards during training sessions or anytime you want to thank your dog for good behavior. The biscuits handmade from scratch using healthy, all-natural ingredients. 20% of all Bang Biscuit sales will be given back to hand-picked partners in the pet industry. Eli Manning, the two-time Super Bowl champ and co-hosting an alternate Monday Night Football broadcast with his big brother Peyton, back on the program. Good to see you, Eli. When's the last time you had a true fist fight with Peyton?
I don't know if Peyton and I have ever had a true fist fight. You know, there's been some wedgies given from both sides of us. That was probably the most recent thing. But, you know, he's 5 years older than me. So, you know, Peyton and Cooper were 2 years apart. They definitely had the fights. Me, it was more, I was just taking the brunt of a lot of the harassment being the younger child. And so nowadays we're 40, he's 45. You know, he kind of knows better not to mess with me anymore.
Who would be more likely to be able to play in a game this weekend, you or Peyton?
I think I gotta take that one. You know, I saw him throw the other day. We had our high school football camp back in July, and it wasn't coming out real good. So and that was throwing like a high school like little ball. So I think he get that NFL ball. I don't think he's ready.
How does Brady continue to do it?
I have no idea. I'm not surprised by it, but I'm still amazed by it. And what he was able to do last year, you know, changing teams, a new organization after 20 years, and you know, a new offense, you know, trying to learn that offense in a shortened off season and still get in there and create the same results. So, you know, I don't know how he, you know, does it himself, but also how he just convinces the team that they're, you know, they're Super Bowl ready. They're a contender. And, you know, it wasn't the fastest start. They lost, you know, week one. He didn't play great, but you know, he just got better and guys rally around him. The defense played outstanding, and he's got something where he just has the ability to lead those guys to great things.
All right, now that you're an analyst, I can ask you this: who's a better quarterback, Tom Brady or Peyton?
Ooh, currently today, Tom Brady right this second.
Career.
Is that politically correct?
Yes, it is.
Career, you know, it's one of those deals you could argue this over. You know, obviously I'm a little biased to my brother because I've seen it firsthand, just the way, you know, he just, you know, he led that team and made the players around him so much better. But obviously you got to look at Tom's career and just, you know, winning championships. And that's what he's been able to do. And, you know, and so, you know, who had a better career, you could flip a coin, or who's a better quarterback. You know, they're both amazing. And you know, you'd want any of them on your team to lead a franchise for a long time.
Do you wear your Super Bowl rings?
I do not. I have not worn them in a long time. And, you know, they're big. And now they're even getting bigger. I saw the ones from last year. I mean, you can't even, you'd hurt somebody. If you shake someone's hand, you're going to scratch them. You'd hurt your own hand. They're getting too big. I need like a mini one that maybe might wear.
You know what? I brought this up a couple of months ago. Why not have one that's sort of like a class ring that allows you to wear it all the time, that you still have that one you put away in a safety deposit box? How about we start a business where we come up with wearable Super Bowl rings?
I'm all in. I think this is a gold. This is gold, Jerry. you know, so I think, I mean, I agree. Like, you can't wear that thing, and now you're worried you might lose it, and you know, you take it off. And so I think, yeah, I guess getting one you can wear, yeah, like your class ring. That, hey, we were the champions. Here's my mini ring.
All right, give me your philosophy with you and Peyton doing Monday night, the alternate Monday night broadcast. What's the game plan?
Game plan is just, hey, we're on our couches in our living room watching Monday Night Football together. We haven't done that in probably 25 years, as watched a Monday Night Football game together. And you know, he'll be in Denver, I'll be in New Jersey, but we're still watching the same game. We're talking, we're telling old stories, either about those teams or playing in that stadium, or just all of a sudden we hear certain words being called in the game, or we see a play and we have a story. So it's very casual. It's very just, you know, just having fun. We'll get to really analyze some of the plays and talk them through, but then we'll also skip over, you know, a lot of, you know, runs for 2 yards. Like, we don't need to discuss who was carrying the ball for that 2 yard run and what happened. So we'll bring some guests in there to have some conversations. And so it's just, it should be a fun way to watch a football game and learn a little bit about kind of behind the scenes of playing quarterback, being in the NFL, and what's going on in the huddle, what's going on the sideline. What are they looking at when they see the tablet? What's that offensive coordinator, you know, yelling at that guy? What, you know, what did he do wrong? What's going on in all these situations?
Talking to Eli Manning, won 2 Super Bowls, of course, with the Giants. You once threw, I think, 6 picks against the Chargers.
Is that right? Doesn't sound. I think that's Peyton.
Peyton did?
That's
sorry about that. How would you, as an analyst, look at that performance? Let's say let's take away Peyton.
Let's say I did it.
Yeah.
I think my most was 4.
But let's say 5. You're an analyst watching a performance where somebody throws 6 interceptions.
You know, every interception has a story, and you can have an excuse. The thing is, nobody really wants to hear the story. You know, the coaches don't want to hear it. You know, there's always receiver ran the wrong route. There's always, hey, this ball get tipped. They, you know, we're down. I'm trying to force something. So everyone has a story. No one really wants to hear it. And you know, it's sometimes they're just contagious. You know, the interceptions can be contagious. You start throwing one, you start thinking, hey, whatever you do, just don't throw another interception. And once you start thinking that way, they just keep coming. It's like you can't help it. They just you know something bad's about to happen, and you just can't pull it back.
Yeah, I came up with a stat called shared blame interceptions, SBI. That way,
I like it.
You know, after the game, the receiver can say, that's on me. It shouldn't be on you.
They never said that. It's never happened before.
Before I get to your plug with Verizon, Derek Jeter going into the Hall of Fame, you, of course, spent your career there in New York. How did you know you were wired to be able to deal with New York coming from New Orleans?
You know, I didn't know. I think, I think I do have a little bit more of a kind of a laid back personality where, you know, things don't always bother me. If someone says something bad about me, you know, I don't take offense to it. I don't hold grudges. It's not going to ruin my day. You know, so I think just the ability to kind of handle that New York media, I give Peyton and Cooper a lot of credit for them just beating up on me all the time when I was growing up. And they said, if you tell anybody or you complain or you tell mom, we're going to make it worse the next time. So I just said I was not allowed to complain or cry or say anything about it. So I could just easily just forget about it. I move on, and I'd see him the next day. And after they just gave me an atomic wedgie or pulled down my pants in front of, you know, a bunch of girls, you know, I could still love them the next day and be happy and just be okay in any situation I was in. And I think that's kind of prepared me for the New York media and the New York and dealing with the ups and downs, kind of never getting too high, never getting too low.
They pulled your pants down in front of girls?
Yeah, Mardi Gras.
Oh, no.
You know, I'm like, hands up, throw me something, mister. You know, it's just a perfect situation just to come behind and get the pants down. I'm in some, you know, old school tighty whities. You know, not a good look.
What are you doing with Verizon?
Yeah, I've got the Verizon 5G MultiView. So Verizon does a great job of just the innovation, the technology during games at the stadium. So they're in 7 different stadiums this year. They're in MetLife. So for Giants games, I'm going to the Giants game this Sunday. I'll be in person. And so if you log into the Giants app, they have the Verizon MultiView where you have 7 different camera angles where you can watch replays, you can watch the game, you can see, you know, hey, was this guy in on the sideline? Hey, did the ball cross the goal line to get that touchdown? So you don't have to wait on the Jumbotron for the replay. You can be right there on your phone within that app and kind of get all the cool angles. You can be right on the quarterback, whatever, however you want to watch it. So just creating that in-game experience at while you're at the game to give you all that technology and features to even enjoy it more.
Are you wearing your jersey to the game?
I was thinking about that. I was, you know, just this morning, I was like, what am I going to wear to the game? I mean, everybody now wears jerseys. Do I wear my own jersey? Do I wear a Saquon jersey? You know, I don't know.
Nobody would think that Eli was wearing his own jersey.
I've often thought about that, but when you are, then it looks weird. So it could backfire. You know, they're like, no, that's definitely him. And you get busted wearing your own jersey. Then it's like, what? Why? What is he doing? Why would he wear his own jersey? But I have thought, it's like, yeah, no one would. He's not going to wear his own jersey. It can't be him. We'll leave him alone.
Good luck with Verizon, and good luck on Monday night. Great to talk to you again, Eli. Thank you.
Always, Dan. Good being with you, pal.
That's Eli Manning. Courtesy of Verizon. You know, when they stop playing, they have a better sense of humor. And you got a great job there Monday night with your brother, back and forth, just having a little bit of fun. Can you watch as just a fan, or are you going to process this as a former quarterback? I don't think that Peyton could watch a game without dissecting things. Plus, you know, we make the mistake. I've made this mistake before. In fact, I remember talking to Troy Aikman when Troy Aikman was going to go into the booth with Joe Buck. And I said, are you ready to be critical of players? And he gave a great answer because he said, well, it's not, you know, you're criticizing as much as you're analyzing. And there's a difference in that because we can critique. Somebody else can critique, but sometimes you'll get the analyst who points out everything that's involved in it and analyzes that. And he's going to get to these moments where somebody's going to have a bad game, but he might focus on the person who's having a good game as a result of you having a bad game. If you throw four interceptions, are you then going to compliment the defensive rush? Are you going to compliment the defensive back? It might not be as critical as it is analytical. And this is what, and I've made this mistake before with guys getting into broadcasting. Are you able to say something? And I said this to Tony Dungy and Rodney Harrison. And looking back, I probably shouldn't have. It's just analyze the game. Now, you're going to be accused of being critical, but just analyze the game. And if you go into that approach, then you'll look at it and you'll be honest with what you see instead of saying, boy, how's this going to be perceived? You can't play favorites. And Rodney would be critical of the Patriots. And you know, there were times when I would press Tony Dungy about Peyton Manning. And these are really good teams that are playing. But, you know, that Peyton and Eli are going to be fine because they're going to be together talking about it. If I'm hosting with them, I would be pushing them a little bit more. Probably the reason why I'm not hosting the alternate Monday Night Football and the fact I don't work at ESPN as well. But I think it's interesting that this is something I proposed to Amazon last year, not with Peyton and Eli, but can you get just two players, former players, and you just sit around and you just watch the game? But you have somebody who sort of is the, you know, traffic cop there, and you know, it never got far with that. I'm not sure what Amazon's doing on Thursday nights once they take over from Fox, but that was something that I proposed. Can you get guys in a relaxed situation who will just talk to you? And I know that ESPN does the mega cast and you have, you know, former coaches in there. I wanted players with players, and I stay out of the way. All you do is basically roll out the ball and go, all right, you guys play and let me know when you need me. And that was something that I thought could work on Thursday nights with Amazon. But Monday night with these two, and then they'll have guests that'll be in there. And I think it'll be a great listen, in particular because of Peyton. I think that he will provide that insight. I'm always curious why Eli never got an Omaha. He didn't have one. At least I can't remember Eli with a Omaha. But, you know, Peyton kind of cornered the market on Omaha. And then occasionally you get Roethlisberger would say something that was kind of funny from a TV show or a movie. Aaron Rodgers would do that as well. Yeah, McLovin.
Eli's jersey conundrum is interesting. Can you wear your own jersey? Like, what does he wear to the Giants?
I think it would be funny that you do it, but he might want to separate from the Giants to be an analyst if he cares about that. But it would be pretty funny if you're there for the first game. You can go as a fan. You know, wear your Giants jersey. Yeah, Paul.
I'm really looking forward to Eli and Peyton during a blowout game. If it's 35-0 at half and there's nothing, the game's over, you may switch to them and they may just start telling stories.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing to analyze. Sometimes even with Sunday Night Football, when there's a blowout, there's a couple years where there's a blowout and Al Michaels just started telling old stories with Collinsworth and they filled the entire second half with good stories. That could be good.
Yeah, and I think if you have sort of a Rolodex that you can go, oh, you know, remember that time you guys were losing 28-0? And then you start talking about what you're talking about during the game in that situation or what that team might be thinking about or what that coach might be thinking. And I they're going to have so many, the treasure trove of stories. The question is, how much do you want to reveal? That's always the tricky part because Eli usually didn't say much. Peyton would, but it feels like Eli's coming out of that shell. And if you're around them, and I've been around them before, you know, Eli's sort of a sneaky assassin. Peyton is funny. I mean, Peyton comes in and he's going to, you know, he'll be the hammer. But I also think that if you have the willingness to tell stories, and they're, you know, self-deprecating stories always play. Like, you don't want to say, you know, that time that I threw, remember when I beat Brady in the Super Bowl? It's when you talk about you had doubts. He was just talking about, you know, going to Mardi Gras and having his hands up to catch something and his brothers pull his pants down. That's a story that we love. Yes, Tom.
But if you're telling stories outside of the family, just other things, you also wonder in the back of your mind, am I talking out of school? Is this something that was told to me in confidence? And you're trying to remember, I got this great story, but is this going to somehow embarrass or offend a former teammate or something?
Thank you, Todd.
You're welcome.
All right. What's the poll question today, McLovin?
Oh, we haven't decided officially. Is it fair to do the least buzzworthy team/player, or is that mean? Because I think, despite what you guys said, I think Teddy Bridgewater has to go on there because nobody is excited to see Teddy Bridgewater start for the Denver Broncos.
Probably so. Would you rather be a team with no chance but still be interesting? Because the Texans aren't interesting. They're only interesting if Deshaun Watson plays. And they have no chance of making the playoffs. Yes.
Like compared to the Jaguars, yeah, who have a low win total, but it's okay.
They're interesting.
How about the Lions? They have Dan Campbell.
They're kind of interesting. I mean, you don't tune in to watch a coach very often. Dan Campbell's good during the week. I don't know what he's going to do. I mean, is he biting kneecaps on the field during a game? He's not suiting up. It is Jared Goff. The story is interesting. I don't know if watching Jared Goff is going to be interesting. There's a difference in that. The Giants, to me, are interesting because of Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. I don't know if they're going to be any good, but they do have some storylines there. Yeah, McLovin.
Daniel Jones, interesting in the same sentence?
Well, interesting.
is he tripping on the 15-yard line?
The situation is interesting. Because this is where you decide if you want to keep that quarterback or you move on. And you wasted, if that's the case, you wasted a big number on that draft pick. Yeah, Paul.
Daniel Jones, by the way, I checked. His nickname is Dan. So his buddies call him Dan when they're like horsing around back home.
Is he the NBA's Joe Johnson?
Yeah. In a weird way, I root for Daniel Jones to have some type of upspike in his career so you don't just talk about him tripping on that run. Like Gus Frerotte had a decent career, but the headbutt is his.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Orlovsky's got the end zone thing. He's got a very successful career, but Daniel Jones needs some moments.
How many guys, okay, you just brought up two great ones. Orlovsky has carved out a great career at the mothership. Gus Frerotte scored a touchdown and then got injured with headbutting the side of the stadium. He hurt his neck. Daniel Jones is the guy who tripped. Is there somebody else who comes up? Jim Marshall, who played for the Vikings, he ran the wrong way, but he was a Hall of Famer.
Leon Lett.
But Leon went to the Pro Bowl a couple of times, but it doesn't matter. It's Leon Lett and the fumble. Actually, Leon Lett had two of them, didn't he, have on Thanksgiving, where he you know, the ball's rolling around. You're not supposed to touch it. And then he went to try to pick it up. And
in
then
the
he
snow.
Fumbled. Yeah, in the snow. And then the Super Bowl where Don Beebe chases him down from behind and he doesn't score a touchdown in the Super Bowl. Yeah, I'm pulling.
Gus Frat, the quarterback, he was in the league for 14 years. He had 100 starts. It wasn't like he was there for 10 minutes. He had 114 career touchdowns. He actually made a Pro Bowl one year. But if you Google his name, what's the first video that comes up?
Yes, McLovin.
I'll give you another one that's not fair. Jackie Smith, the tight end. Hall of Famer.
I know. The Super Bowl.
Drop, right?
Yeah, the Cowboys against Steelers. And he had a touch. You know, they were coming back. I think Roger Staubach, they were coming back against the Steelers. And Jackie Smith, Hall of Famer, spent, you know, most of his career with the St. Louis Cardinals. And he dropped it. Yeah, McLovin.
What was he? I don't remember it that well. Wasn't there a Dolphins kicker who fumbled something in the Super Bowl?
Darryl Yeprimian.
Who is a Hall of Famer, too. I think he
I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, he wasn't?
No,
okay.
No.
He was famous, though, and he had one of the worst Super Bowl plays of all time.
Well,
right?
That was a horrible Super Bowl. I think the 14-7, Mike Bass, I think, picked up the fumble, scored the touchdown. You know, Mark Sanchez, known for the butt fumble. And he went to the AFC title game a couple of times. Couple of times. If you think of other ones, send them out on Twitter to us. But somebody, when you say their name, they're known for one thing. When we come back, the Washington football team is going to change its nickname. We don't know when, but we learned earlier this morning that they're going to reveal a new name. They have about 7 or 8 names now. They're going to narrow that down and basically judge public sentiment here. I'm going to tell you the no-brainer. I'm going to tell you the names that they can't go with, but I can tell you the one that they should. Play of the Day is up next here on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Tim Kalashaw. Oh, he's on the road. He's in Tampa. That's a journalist there. Dallas Morning News columnist, ESPN Around the Horn contributor. Look at that. On the road, spending some company money.
We're traveling for the first time in a couple of years. Didn't go to any road games last year.
Who has more pressure on them for the Dallas Cowboys this season? If I go Dak, Mike McCarthy, Jerry Jones, other?
I would say Dak. I think McCarthy's pressure will come quickly after one season that wasn't good. And on him, I would say very quickly, it doesn't help him that Jerry stayed so long with Jason Garrett as he did. 9.5 years. I think he realizes he had this belief in Garrett as a person because he'd known him for 25 years and it didn't work. He has no such belief with McCarthy. He just brought him here because he was a winning coach 10 years ago in Green Bay. Now do it again. So I think his time will be fairly quick, but because of the contract, because of the injury, because of everything else, I think it's immediately on Dak, and Dak needs to have a special season to kind of make everyone feel like, okay, this wasn't a big mistake to go all in with $160 million on this guy.
Well, it's one thing to be a cute story, and then all of a sudden you get paid and it's no longer a cute story.
Right.
Dak Prescott's not a cute story anymore.
No, he's not the overachieving fourth round pick anymore. He's the guy who makes more than every quarterback who's ever played in a Super Bowl, except for Patrick Mahomes. And some people tell you his deal is better than Mahomes' deal. So yeah, it's, you know, whether it should be about the money or not, it is. And there is a salary cap. And while he's not killing them against the cap now, he's third on the roster this year, but then it starts going up very quickly. And we've seen other teams struggle when a quarterback is chewing up 18-19% of the cap. We've seen teams not win because of that.
How's morale going into this season in Dallas?
I'm fine. The Dallas Morning News is ready to go. We've got 4 writers here. We feel good about our predictions and our deadlines. But if you mean the Cowboys and fans, I just think it's very apprehensive because of this, who they're playing. If they were playing a normal game, if they were playing the Giants, who they used to open every season against, I think everybody would feel wonderful. But you have no Zach Martin, so your best lineman's gone again. Dak hasn't played in 11 months, all the things that hang over this team. And you're playing not just a Super Bowl team, but a Super Bowl team that a week ago the coach was calling them out saying, I'll play the starters into the second half if we don't get this thing going. And Brady comes out and goes 7-for-7 and they got a touchdown. It feels like they're ready to go play the playoffs, and the Cowboys didn't even bother with the exhibition season.
Are you convinced the Cowboys are a playoff team?
I wouldn't say convinced. That's a strong word. I think it's a two-team race between Dallas and Washington. I don't think there's a lot to separate the two. I think Washington is, if they can get a decent season out of Fitzpatrick, they might be the better team because they're so much better defensively. But I don't know if he can hold up for 17 games and not fall apart as he usually has. If Dallas has reasonable health, just normal NFL health, I think they'll win the division.
Dallas starts out with Tampa and then at the Chargers. So they could be conceivable to be 0-2, and then I know they have three easier games after that. But if they start out 0-2,
yeah.
What do you think? Like, you got to preach patience, but Jerry doesn't have patience sometimes.
No, and it's those easier games. Yeah, there's three home games coming up, New York, Philly, and Carolina. Well, just because those teams all had losing records, now I don't think Philly's very good. But I don't know what Carolina's going to do this year. It's second year for those coaches and all. And New York, they beat the Cowboys at the end of last year, and they got Barkley back. So if you're 0-2, easy games are gone, and all those games start to look tougher. Now, if you avoid 0-2, the Cowboys don't play a team that had a winning record, for whatever that's worth, between Tampa and Kansas City in the middle of November. So they have a long stretch against teams that were 500 or worse. They can do some damage if they can get their act together. But I think, like, to your point, the Chargers is a very tough second game at LA. I mean, that team should be pretty good. Somebody's going to be pretty good in that division besides the Chiefs. It might be the Chargers.
And really, all you're asking the Cowboys to do is be average on defense. Because if you have an above average offense, then are they capable of being an average defense?
They're not good at defensive tackle, and their defensive ends have not played well or been available the last year or two. So there's a lot of excitement about Micah Parsons and a great rookie pick. And there's some excitement about Keanu Neal coming in from Atlanta, but they're really just replacing two linebackers everybody was excited about before, Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch, a first-round pick and an almost first-round pick. So it's like they're trying to get this linebacker thing right, but if your defensive tackles in front of them are no good and Neville Gallimore's not going to play and Tristan Hill hasn't practiced with the team yet, then you're just got a bunch of guys up in front of him. Then you're back to having linebackers making tackles 7 yards down the field. I think tonight Tampa Bay has a great chance to run the ball a lot and do what teams did to Dallas last year. And if that happens, then everybody's going to freak out and think this thing isn't getting better at all.
Always great to talk to you. Glad you're traveling. Have fun tonight, Tim.
Good to be here in this wonderful setting.
Yes, I can tell. The ambiance looks really, really nice. Thank you, bud. That's Tim Kalishaw. Only the best for Tim Kalishaw, you know, when you're with Dallas Morning News and you're traveling. ESPN also around the horn contributor. Let's bring in Rick Stroud, who covers the Buccaneers for the Tampa Bay Times. Unlike anybody else does, he also hosts Sports Day Tampa Bay podcast. Before we talk about tonight, Rick, with the Buccaneers, go back to when they were, 7-5? You had 3 losses in 4 games. What was happening then, and then what happened after that that changed the Buccaneers' season?
Well, I think what was happening was sheer panic at that point. But, you know, it was a situation where Tom Brady got with Bruce Arians. They were supposed to play golf. The league wouldn't let them. They had sort of some long telephone conversations, I think, without Byron Leftwich. And basically, Tom said, hey, here's what I need. I need more play action. I need more, motion, pre-snap motion. We got to run the ball more. We got to be more committed to this. And I think it sort of evolved the offense a little quicker towards the second half. And they were a tired football team. You know, they had played a lot of games. They played, a couple of three-point losses to the Rams and the Chiefs. And they really just felt like they needed that break. And they came back and they caught fire.
Yeah, but I mean, it's interesting that teams always have these moments where there's a dip, some point in this season. And then they start to figure it out later in the season. Those teams that are caught fire, they have momentum going into the postseason. How confident were you, though, in the last month of the season, if I would have said, hey, this team's going to win the Super Bowl?
I think after they got on a run, just talking to the coaches and watching them, they really felt like they were getting better each week. The schedule got a little easier. They came out, I think they were down 17 points to the Falcons, and it was really dark and gloomy. But Brady came back, and I think he threw 5 touchdown passes that day. And, they just felt like the more time they were together, I think people underestimate, what COVID and Tom changing, systems and not knowing the plays. I mean, he's trying to memorize plays on the way on the bus to New Orleans, and so there was a big learning curve there. And I just think they got better, as they played.
Also, Brady played the season with a partially torn MCL. How did they hide that?
That's a good question, man. I wish I had the answers to all these. I'm not sure. I know that Tom just told them he was fine. I guess he got a physical after he, signed his contract when he was in New York. But, basically it was him and Alex Guerrero spending, 12, 14 hours a day trying to stabilize that knee. He said sometimes he'd go to bed with it all taped up and things like that. So they gave him a lot of time off the second half of the year. He took some days and he got through it. He didn't make a big deal out of it. But
wait, do you think Bruce Arians knew that Tom Brady had a knee that needed surgery?
I think he knew that he had a problem, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know to what extent. Look, he was never on an injury report. We can get into that, but I think at the end of the day, he was never going to not play with it, right? He started with this same knee that he finished the season with. It wasn't something that was going to keep him out of a game. It's sort of like, don't ask, don't tell. I don't think they wanted to know what was wrong with that, but he had worn a brace for 13 years, so he was still wearing one.
Also, when you sit down with Brady and you come to the COVID topic, and I was curious how surprised you were that Tom answered it, honestly, that he had had COVID and maybe got it when they had the Super Bowl armada.
Yeah, well, you never ask a question you don't have an answer to, Dan. That's the key. And I sort of waited. We're running out of time because he gave me 14 of the best minutes of my life. So I had to ask at the end there as we were leaving. And he just, he was just wanted to move on. I think he said, yeah, I had it. And a lot of people got sick, I think, at the boat parade, not just the avocado tequila and stuff. But I think he felt like it's in his past, and he just said, I'm worried. He turned, he blocked and bridged and said, I'm worried about this year because I think we're going to have a lot more problems with everything that's opened up, and even though guys are vaccinated, they're still going to get sick, and, we could have players missing games. And before they went to Houston, they had two, defensive tackles, and Ndamukong Suh being one of them that couldn't play in the preseason game. So, that's kind of what he's thinking about is how this can affect them going forward.
It sounds strange to say, but is this Super Bowl or bust?
With Tom Brady?
With the Buccaneers, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, what's a good season when you have this guy, right? I mean, it hasn't been done, since he did it 17 years ago, but that's why they're playing. And I don't think he's going to let them let off the gas. I mean, there's, a lot of talk about complacency and things like this. I mean, it's incredible, Dan. I mean, when you see what this guy's able to do, he told me his arm feels like he's 24. He's playing his 300th game today, 300th start or 300th game, and that sets up nicely because I think his 400th game will be against Arch Manning, who will be going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So, you know, I just there's no slowdown in this guy. I'm telling you, if he feels healthy, and I've talked to Alex Grill about this, I think he's going to go beyond just this season and next season. It would not surprise me at all if that's the case.
Yeah, I know. I saw the quote from your column where he said, "I feel like I'm 24." Usually that leaves you. You know, when you ask a quarterback what's the first thing that leaves you, they might talk about some sharpness. They might talk about, you know, usually it's arm strength there. Is Brady throwing like he's 24?
Well, I wasn't there when he was 24. I saw him in a lot of Super Bowls, and everybody on that staff says he's throwing the ball as well as they can ever detect that he did on film. You know, so, I mean, he's a guy, and you know, we talked about this, that he grew up and he always had elbow problems in baseball playing as a kid. He had elbow problems in Michigan, and that's how he got with Alex Guerrero, because they were going to IR him at one point in New England. He went out there to California. He was working with Willie McGinnis, and he just says that, you know, he's never had any problems since then. So his arm has been great. And, you know, the way he takes care of himself with TB12, he's got 34 guys on this roster going to TB12, which is a mile from the facility, getting worked on by body coaches each week. So it's, you know, you might have a bunch of Buccaneers playing until they're in their 40s.
Now, does the team pick up the tab for that?
It's a great question, Dan. You'll have to read the stories about that. I don't want to disclose everything just yet, but
okay.
I think the players do. I actually think that it's on the players. I know this in New England they did.
Yeah, although I don't think Bill liked that.
No, apparently not. That changed pretty quickly.
By the way, I know that you went through some lean years down there, but you know, you've got it made now. I mean, come on, it's great to be in Tampa.
It's Tampa Bay.
My bad.
It is. We got the hockey team. You know, this is a big night. I mean, after they won Super Bowl 37, to tell you how things go in Tampa, their greatest moment, right? They win 0-2 Super Bowl, and then we're at the owners' meetings, and they find out they've got to open at Philly. They're the only Super Bowl team before or since that's opened on the road. And that just fed right into John Gruden's paranoia. And we're at the owners' meeting. He's like, I'll tell you what, man. I'm around here singing "Why Eagles, Why?" You know what I mean? Why do we gotta? So yeah, it was. So this is a big deal. This is a really big deal.
That is well done. Are you surprised at all with what's happening or not happening with the Raiders with John Gruden?
Not surprised. Love John as a football coach. He's a terrible GM. He's got Mike Mayock, who's probably not getting to pull the strings, and I think John will stay and Mayock will go, and they'll bring in Bruce Allen. I mean, that's what he does. Mm. So, terrific play caller, great motivator, likes the quarterback he doesn't have. you know, I can go on and on, but I'm not surprised at all.
Have fun tonight. We'll be checking back in with you. Always great to talk to you, Rick.
Good to talk to you, Dan. Thanks.
That's Rick Stroud. He's done a great job covering the Buccaneers, Tampa Bay Times. That was a really good John Gruden impersonation. I'll tell you what, man. That's good. All right, phone calls coming up, and the Danettes are going to offer hot takes. I have to decide if they are a hot take and how hot is said take. These are items that we'll look back in January on this memorable day, the opening night of the NFL season. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
All righty. Last call for phone calls. I'll do my best to get some phone calls. The popular Rich Eisen will join us on the program tomorrow, host of NFL Network and the Rich Eisen Show that follows this one. You guys want to guess who I picked for the Super Bowl? Yes, Todd?
You are going with a rematch of Super Bowl 14, which was in the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. SoFi is only about an hour away. The Rams might be the easier pick of the two, but you're going with Big Ben and the Steelers to represent the AFC.
All right. Rams and the Steelers. Okay. McLovin?
I'm going off several clues you've been dropping. Mm. You have always said you love defense.
Mm-hmm.
So your shocking team will be the Washington football team.
Mm.
No.
Okay.
Or maybe San Francisco, because I've noticed you haven't talked about San Francisco at all.
No, which, you got to make a pick.
Washington football team versus the Cleveland Browns.
Okay. Seton O'Connor.
So I don't have a pick on the matchup, but I just have four teams that I think you're like the ones that you're trying to talk yourself out of.
Okay.
Okay. I have also the Washington football team.
All right.
The Titans, okay. The Chargers, the Cowboys.
All right. One of those teams is on the list that I'm trying to talk myself out of.
Yes, I knew it.
Yes. One of those four. Paulie?
I think you were going to have a team from Los Angeles as one of your picks.
Okay.
That's all I got.
That's all you got?
Yeah, I want to cover my bases. Yeah, I guarantee there's I guarantee there's a team from Los Angeles, one of your two picks.
Okay. You know, I've been on the Matthew Stafford bandwagon before there was a bandwagon, and thought if you're going to make a bet for the MVP, that Matthew Stafford with those long odds. But I will say this: you guys have not picked. Nobody picked the two teams that I'm going to pick to play in the Super Bowl. Seton did have one team that I've been, for some reason, I got this umbilical cord attached to the Tennessee Titans. And I don't know why, because I'm thinking, okay, you got a great running back. Tannehill had a really good year last year. They averaged 30 points. They're one of the top scoring teams. You bring in, you know, Julio Jones with A.J. Brown. And then, you know, Bud Dupree, Caleb Farley, you've added a little bit to the defense. And I thought, golly, could this be a sneaky pick? But I can't pick him.
Oh.
I know. I promise you, this kept me up last night. I kept going, I like the Titans.
Were you like pacing the house?
No, not pacing. But I'm like, I got up to go get another beer and then came back. But that's not pacing. Yes, McLovin.
If they make it now, you're going to be so mad at yourself.
It's okay. Because I've talked myself in and talked myself out of teams, it feels like, every year. Like, I talk myself into the Chargers almost every year for about a 10-year period. I go, you know, they got the most talent in football. I'm taking the Chargers. And then you go, yeah, my two teams are not going to surprise you. I'm not picking the Buffalo Bills.
Saucy.
I'm not picking the Cleveland Browns. I'm taking your Kansas City Chiefs. I know.
Gutsy.
I know.
You already feel bad about it.
Really embracing hot take day.
No, because I did this last year where I purposely went against Buccaneers in Kansas City. Certainly Kansas City. I'm like, God, that's boring. But do I want to be interesting or do I want to be correct? That's the dilemma that I have here.
That's the segment, interesting or correct.
Interesting or correct. Brought to you by. But you can't be both, it feels like. I mean, you might be. If the Titans would go to the Super Bowl, I will be mad at myself. But I will be on the record as considering them. And so I was...
We can edit it so you pick them.
Yes.
The guys in back will make it sound like you
pick them. Okay, let me just do it. And the team I'm picking to go to the Super Bowl from the AFC, the Tennessee Titans. Clip that, Mario. Bring that back in February. So I'm going with the Chiefs. Now, in the NFC, I'm not going with Seattle. I'm not going with San Francisco. I'm not going with the Rams. And I was going to have a Rams-Titans Super Bowl. And then I stopped drinking tequila. And then I said, all right, I gotta come up with the... I'm taking the Green Bay Packers to play the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I'm sorry. It's not a hot take. I'm so disappointed in myself.
Who do you have winning said Super Bowl?
I have the Kansas City Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. And Aaron Rodgers, that's his last game as a Green Bay Packer. How's that?
Is it Devontae Adams' last game? Question mark.
See, I'm disappointed. I am. Like I love Josh Allen. I've said that. I don't, you know, Rodgers was wonderful. I have Mahomes winning the MVP. See, it's another boring thing. I couldn't go Rodgers because he no matter what he does, trying to equal last year. Josh Allen, the expectation level is really high on him. I think he made them better than what they really were. It comes back to Mahomes' offensive line, Andy Reid, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce. I have that every week. Yes, McClellan.
How about the Bucs? Were they in the discussion?
Yes, they were. I wasn't sold on them last year. I go back to when they were 7-5. I just think the defense played well. I didn't think they played well until they got to the Super Bowl, and they took advantage of a defensive line that was terrible. You're asking Brady, stay healthy. I'm not as high on the wide receiving core as everybody else is. I think we're basing this off of, Gronk's a Hall of Famer. He doesn't play like a Hall of Famer. He did play well in the Super Bowl. Antonio Brown, I'm just not sure. It's Antonio Brown. Godwin. I like Mike Evans. You got some tight ends there. I mean, they have everything. It's so hard to repeat. And, Tom's the last to do it in 03 and 04. And I know, I always say, I'll never go against Tom Brady. I guess technically I'm going against Tom Brady right now. But if it was Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, I would take Tom Brady, as I did last year. Yes, Tom.
It saves a lot of time for Jake from State Farm. He already had Mahomes and Rodgers together in commercials. They could just kind of keep re-showing those.
Yeah. And, maybe they want to use me in those State Farm commercials.
Perfect.
It'd be nice if I was Jake's friend coming in. Oh, God. There's so much pressure.
You hate this.
I do.
Because what's even the worst part of it is that if they're wrong, then it was boring and wrong. At least if you're interesting and wrong, it's like, hey, I took a shot. This is just boring and it was wrong. Boring and wrong.
Brought to you by, yes, McLovin.
The worst was when you picked the Saints, who were clearly the best team, and they got the pass interference call against them. That was ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, they should have been Super Bowl champions.
What did we learn today, Todd?
As a youth, Eli Manning had his pants pulled down by brothers Peyton and Cooper during Mardi Gras in front of girls. Ah.
McLovin.
Eli Manning also referenced many wedgies.
Seton O'Connor.
Salad days.
Yeah, we know where salad days came from. My good friend Billy Shakespeare. Paulie?
Ivy League, overrated?
Overrated. Hey, rocket scientists, look no further than the next big thinker, first-in-class technology, a leader in innovation and intelligence not seen from an SUV, the 2021 Mercedes-Benz GLE. Learn more at mbusa.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Thanks for joining us. Meet Friday tomorrow. Talk to you then.